Thank you very much. Thank you.
Lord Almighty, I feel my temperature rising. Higher, higher, it's burning through to my soul.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I am 24. This is my podcast. On a very early Thursday morning, we're going to look at the draft. We're going to have a mock draft. Then I actually have to go to school. Maybe not, but I'm actually choosing to go to school. Final week of classes. Final day of classes. Pat myself on the back. All right, hold on. I just saw something on TV. I'm watching TNT. I'm watching TNT because it's just, it was what my TV was on, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, unpause my music. Sorry. Gonna look at the draft, talk about the draft. Final day kind of the draft. Thursday night, we're gonna have the actual draft. It's gonna be great. All that coming up, ladies and gentlemen, right here. 24's podcast.
It's coming closer, pain that I reach in my body. Please won't you help me, I feel like I'm flipping away. It's hard to breathe, and my chest is a heaving.
Lord Almighty. Oh, turn that shit up, hold on.
Cause you can't lift me higher, like the sweet song of a choir. And you like.
Elvis Presley, Aloha from Hawaii, live in Honolulu, 1973, the full concert, the ultimate experience. I'm not really a big Elvis Presley fan. I like his music, don't like the person that much, and it's not because he did drugs or whatever. It's because he went to Ronald Reagan in, like, the 70s, right? And he was like, I think the hippie epidemic is, like, terrible for America and all this other stuff. And he named, like, as one of the leading influences of the hippie movement, the Beatles. And he was like, we got to get the Beatles out of America. And I was like, all right, I'm done with this guy. He's dead to me. He's a rat. Get him out. Not going to happen. Beatles were significantly better than Elvis Presley. I feel like that goes without saying. But I love his music. I think his 50 greatest songs behind me on vinyl. Excuse me. I have his 50 greatest songs on vinyl. And I don't know why. Again, my brain works very, very weird. Weirdly. And I remember this song on Lilo and Stitch. I remember why I was trying to figure out. I was listening to this song or trying to find this song. But there's a song on Lilo and Stitch, this old animated Disney movie that got turned into a TV show that also had other sequel movies as well. Final movie, final kind of bit of Lilo and Stitch is kind of like all of the main characters kind of going off and kind of doing their own thing. And one of the main characters gets from Lilo a vinyl record of Elvis, and specifically of this concert, and he plays this song that I think is fantastic. It's called, what's it called again? I'm So Lonely, right? I'm So Lonesome. I'm So Lonesome. And the I'm So Lonesome, I Could Cry. It's a great song. It's a great performance by Elvis. And I had kind of, again, I'm into vinyl and stuff like that. I'd been trying to find it for like years. And it never, I guess, got released until last year. shockingly enough. Like, how fortuitous is it for yourself, for yours truly? Where it's like, literally, I get the opportunity, the chance to get it on vinyl. Super excited for it. I got my tax returns. Or my tax refund. There we go. Got my tax refund in today. And, I mean, it's enough to do a little bit of shopping. Not going to lie to you. Do a little bit of shopping. You know, they say that, I mean, like, financial literacy is important and things of that nature. But they also, like, but most people, I mean, let's just have that come to Jesus moment. Most people don't fucking pocket their tax returns, you know, or their tax refund. What they do is they fucking go to the mall, they go to Amazon, they go wherever, and they buy shit. And I am so excited. I'm so excited, so fucking excited, because it's like I may be able to get something that I've wanted, this dedicated audio player. And I, ironically enough, it's like I just got some new earbuds, same brand that I used from last year, because last year's got thrown into the wash by accident, but they still work. They just don't work as well. But I was like, man, before next semester, I kind of want to get something, and I'll be able to get it. I'll be able to get something that I want, as well as some other stuff. It's like, man, I'm cleaning up shop. I'm getting everything I wanted. My new chair comes today. So finally, I mean, my back has been killing me because of this chair. The freaking, what is this? The freaking lazy boy that I have just tears the shit out of my back. And I'm so excited to get a chair that doesn't destroy my back when I sit in it. But that's coming today. I'll assemble it. I'll sit down in it. I'll cover the draft in it. I'm super excited about it. And we will keep things pushing. Yesterday, as I mentioned before, was the final day of classes for my Monday, Wednesday classes. I only have classes for 4 days because that's how my schedule is broken down. And so today is technically my final day of classes. And then, shockingly enough, I have finals. Yesterday, I was going to podcast, but then I got tired and I fell asleep. But I sat down and I reflected on life, you know, and this semester and this past year. I'd said to myself, you know, when I go to community college, and for some, I don't know why I decided to go back to school, but I was like, I got to go back to school. But I said to myself, you know, when I go to community college, I'm not going to make any friends. I'm not going to establish any relationships. I'm just going to be a guy that just goes to school, goes home, does my work, graduates, et cetera, et cetera. And that was not the case. This has been one of the best academic semesters ever and one of the best personal semesters for me ever when it comes to school. I made a lot of relationships. I made some friends as well. Loved going to school. Excelled at school. I was active in the student body. Did a lot of stuff for the school, which is weird. It was fun. My peers enjoyed me. My teachers loved me. It was great. It was fun. Yesterday, I'm in creative writing, right? And so yesterday, I go to creative writing, and we're making these magazines. Hold on.
Let me get one.
I got three for life. You know, I got three just in case if I needed three. I got three, and I got three just in case if I lost one or whatever. And I got all of my classmates in creative writing to sign it in, my professor. And I came back home and I was exhausted, right? I had had my final day of testing, my final exam before the finals. And I was just so exhausted. But I was lucid enough to reflect on the past to reflect on my accolades, to reflect on my accomplishments, and on the time spent with my peers, with my friends, et cetera, et cetera. And I remember thinking to myself, I was like, I remember thinking about the Andy Dwyer quote in The Office, and how Andy says, how do you know when the good times are the good times? Because, you know, in the reference or the context of the quote is that Andy has essentially gotten everything that he wants in life. He is at the career that he wants in Princeton or Yale or wherever he's from, whatever school he's from. He's got the career that he's always wanted. He's gotten the life that he always wanted. But really, he wants to go back to working in the office because that's the era that he feels like he was the happiest in. So he asks the documentary, and I think it's his final line in the TV show. He says, when you know that the good times are the good times. It's a pretty good quote, to be honest with you. And I don't consider myself to be smart. I consider myself to be educated. There's a little bit of a difference. They somewhat go hand in hand, but, you know, I think I'm not going to have a whole philosophical perspective or rhetorical analysis on the dichotomy of education versus intelligence. But I'm not that smart, but on this particular case, maybe not smart is the best way to describe it, but observant. And I was like, this is the end of the good times. I don't know what awaits me forward in life. I don't know exactly what my next move will be. I don't know what will await me at a four-year university and then beyond. But this is the end of this time. And I was saddened by it. I was really, really sad. I was like, this is it. But I was also ecstatic because I had finally completed this very hard task, this difficult task of going back to school at my mid to late 20s and getting my associate's degree. And then, of course, next semester, I'll transfer to a four-year degree, four-year university. Like, it was incredible. It was incredible. It was sad. But I felt like it was kind of like the end of high school, which some people have negative connotations with high school. There's definitely some negative connotations, obviously, with high school. But for me, I enjoyed specifically the back half of it when I was able to develop relationships, kind of like, well, where I was able to develop relationships with people that I liked. I was able to find my own group, et cetera, et cetera. And kind of like in college, I kind of did the exact same thing. I was able to develop relationships. I was able to hang out with people that I liked, et cetera, et cetera. And it's always hard for me, at least, to kind of like go away from education, from educators that I like, from peers that I like. It's just, it's difficult. It really is. And it sucks. It always does. But it's kind of like necessary to move on, you know? It's necessary to get into a better spot, into a better position. That's kind of like the only way to move on. But it's like, I was like, man, yesterday I was like, man, I wish I could stay here forever. This feeling, this spot. But then I wouldn't move on. And so it's time to move on. Kind of like in high school, where I was sad that I had to leave high school and I had to leave all my friends and my teachers behind. But at the exact same time, I also had personal issues. So I was also happy to leave high school. But it's like I didn't realize that high school was the good times until I left high school and I had to go to college. And I had to restart all over again. But thankfully, I was aware enough to realize that the good times are almost over, so that way I can appreciate the good times even more. Oh, gosh. Anyways. A lot of things to talk about today. Not a lot of time because, once again, I gotta go to school today. And also, we got the draft in the afternoon and in the evening as well. Look, draft is super important. It's super important. Every single year we discuss it. This year seems to be a really great year. There's going to be a lot of coverage of it. A lot of people are going to be talking about it. A lot of people are going to be covering it. A lot of interesting people are going to be covering it, like Bill Belichick, for example. He's going to be on the Pat McAfee show. I'm going to watch that show probably on probably later on, just because – not probably later on, excuse me, but I'll watch the mock draft – not the mock draft, but the draft featuring Patrick – not Patrick, but Pat McAfee and Bill Belichick, because I think it'll be a really, really interesting perspective that that those two will bring here tonight, as well as – gosh, the Lakers, they play tonight as well. The Lakers go down 2-0. Oh, boy, that sucks. Lakers go down 2-0 to the freaking Nuggets. Everybody's clowning on them. We'll see what happens tonight. Heat freaking smoked the Celtics. Smoked them. Beasted them. Tyler Hero. Way to be my hero. All these boys having so much fun. NBA playoffs, I'll say it, the NBA playoffs are easily the best playoffs. There's enough polarity, there's just enough stuff that happens in the league to make the game, the sport, interesting. Not the sport, excuse me, but the playoffs interesting. It's kind of hard. It's hard to make this stuff interesting. We have the top teams, but the top teams, they lose constantly to these lower ranked teams, and it really puts these top teams in kind of this like weird perspective where you're like, are they going to come back? Are they going to win? Things of that nature. I don't know. For their sake, you hope so. For the sake of the NBA, like, I don't really mind it if the Heat lose. I don't really mind it if I don't mind it if the Nuggets lose, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Gosh, man. Again, I got my tax returns literally today, and I was like, maybe I should get this DAP, this dedicated audio player that I've been looking at for a little bit over a year. Maybe I should get some new earbuds. But then I was like, I already got the new earbuds. They're in my ears right now. But later on, I'll get the IEMs. I'll get those later down. I'll get those down the road. But hold on, I gotta like add both of them to my cart, because it's just like I just want to make sure I can freaking when the money drops, when it drops, I can just pull up to eBay, get it, run away. Baby, I got a plan. Run away as fast as you can. Anyways, great podcast today. Let's talk about the draft here. And let's talk about a lot of different things kind of going on and going and flowing with the draft. Because it's not just as simple as, hey, this team has this pick. Here are the players that they can roll with. It's not just that simple. And the reason why it's not just that simple is because you also have players that I don't think are on the trade block. I don't think, for example, we're going to see a trade with Brandon Ayuk in it today. I don't think, for example, we'll see a trade with another star wide receiver. I don't think that's a thing. But I do think that the Broncos are kind of semi-interesting. Let me pull up the draft. It's not the Draft Network. It's Pro Football Network. Sorry. I just like typed in the wrong thing like 5 times. All right. So the Broncos are drafting at 12. Minnesota is drafting at 11. Minnesota also has the 23rd overall pick because of a trade that they made with, I think, the Texans this year as well. I don't think that Minnesota is going to package Justin Jefferson to move up. I don't think so. I don't think that's the case, even though he's not signed. More on that in a little bit. I don't think the Broncos are going to package Patrick Surtain as well, which it kind of seemed for like half a minute that they were, if I'm being 100% honest with you. I was like, if Sean Payton can get something back for Patrick Surtain, he's going to move off of Patrick Surtain. And I would have clowned the Denver Broncos immediately if that dropped, if that news dropped, if they traded Patrick Surtain. I would have been like, no, sir, not me. We're not going to do that. Not today. But by all intents and purposes, it looks like they will roll with Patrick Surtain. Now, the interesting bit of information that dropped yesterday was that Amon-Ra St. Brown, among others, like Penei Sewell, he is the other. I really should have said other, not others. But Amon-Ra St. Brown just got paid $30 million annually next season, or just for, I think, four seasons. He's getting $120 million over the lifetime of the contract, $40 million annually, or not 40, $30 million annually. It's a great contract for him because it is very, very high price. It's a great contract for everybody else who's better than him. I like Amon-Ra St. Brown. He got 119 receptions, 1,500 yards last year. I bet if I told you those numbers, you would probably be like, really? It's like, yeah. Amon-Ra St. Brown balled last year, and his numbers have gotten progressively better since entering into the NFL, and he also has a shit ton of touchdowns as well. He has 10. He's kind of underrated, and again, all of his numbers just keep on improving. They just keep on getting better and better and better, but guys like, for example, CeeDee Lamb, who are in kind of the struggle, they want more money. Guys like, for example, Justin Jefferson, for example, who want a lot of money, as well as Brandon Ayuk, those guys. And is Brandon Ayuk better than Amon? I think Brandon is, regardless of his numbers. I think he's better than Amon-Ra St. Brown. But the interesting thing about this contract is, I warned you. I warned the Cowboys. I warned everybody who listened to me. I said, look, you sign your receivers. You sign your players fast and quick. You sign him. Because now, Dallas, while they were haggling with CeeDee Lamb, they were like, we don't want to pay CeeDee Lamb any money. We're gonna negotiate. It's like, market value was $25, $30 million. I even said that. I said the exact same thing for Justin Jefferson. I was like, market value, $25, $30 million. Like that Lil Uzi Vert song, prices, they all just went up in their prices. Because now, if you're Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb, you can be like, look at my stats, look at Amon-Ra stats. We're better. Look at our tape, look at his tape. We're better. Now you go from eliminate $25 million. They're not getting $25 million. CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, potentially Brandon Ayuk, open market, probably 30, easily whatever, easily anything over Amon-Ra St. Brown. So it can be marginal increases, like it can be in the ballpark of like $31 million. It can be slight margins, like $31 million. It can be major margins, like you're paying an additional $5 million. I think if Dallas had extended CeeDee Lamb, what was it? This is his fourth or fifth year. This is his fourth year, right? This is CeeDee Lamb's fourth year. I feel like they could have extended him after the 2022 season. I feel like they could have extended him after the 2023 season. So last season, immediately. Dallas needed to sign Dak Prescott this past season in February. They did not. They needed to sign CeeDee Lamb. They did not. They needed to sign Micah Parsons. They did not. They have not. Everybody's like, well, they will later on. And it's just like, okay, well, show me when Dallas has signed key and critical players at very opportunistic moments. Or more specifically, not even opportunistic moments, but later on in the regular season. Or not regular season, but offseason. Like some people would point to Trevon Diggs, and I would say to you that is the only signing that they've essentially done. Every other signing has been terrible, like Ezekiel Elliott and Leo Collins. Ironically enough, both of them are potentially going to be Dallas Cowboys back-to-back in the last year. Like, they released Leo Collins. He went back to Dallas late in December. CeeDee, not CeeDee, but Ezekiel Elliott is like, I want to be a Cowboy again. after being with the Patriots for a year, which I think is a fine signing. I would sign. Hell, I would just have running back tryouts if I was Dallas. Dallas has spent the least amount of money in the NFL, and Jerry Jones' bum ass again reaffirms we are all in today. It's just like, no, you're not. No, you're not. You wouldn't have lost all of your free agents, and you wouldn't have spent essentially the least amount of money in the NFL. So, if you're a San Francisco 49ers fan, Cowboy fan, Vikings fan, you're probably going to pay above what you probably could have paid for these wide receivers if you pay these wide receivers. If you're a Detroit Lions fan, you're probably slightly overpaid for Amon-Ra St. Brown. We will see what happens with Amon-Ra St. Brown next year. We'll see. Because he has the numbers. He has the nuts. Poker term, if you don't know what I'm talking about. The nuts means that you have the strong hand. Or technically not a strong hand, but the strongest hand. He has the nuts. But it's like, will he have these numbers? Will he have 1,500? I don't see him. I'm shocked that he has 1,500 yards last season. I'm like, he had 1,500 yards last season? Yes, he did. Shocked. But we'll see what happens next season. We'll see if he continues to have 1,500 yards next season. But, I mean, I always thought that Amon-Ra St. Brown was like 5'10", 5'9". He's 6 foot. He's like, he is again, right, in that wide receiver build of Ja'Marr Chase, CeeDee Lamb, like Justin Jefferson, Malik Nabers, like all of these new guys, they're essentially all Ferraris, right? You know, like a Marvin Harrison Jr. is kind of like a Rolls Royce, these long, kind of big luxury vehicles. Every other wide receiver that's kind of like in the top 10 are kind of like stoutly built. They're kind of built like running backs, slimmer running backs, right? They're 200, 210, 210 pounds. You know, they're 6 foot to 6 foot one and a half, maybe 6 foot two at the tallest. They all, you know, they're all like Hannah Montana. They all have like the best of both worlds. They have size, they have strength, they have size in the sense of they aren't tall enough where it affects their agility, right? But they're tall enough where it's like, okay, they have some presence when it comes to catching 50-50 balls. And they're also super gooberly athletic. So it's like he kind of fits in that same mold. A little bit of a shocker to me, to be honest with you. Anyways, we'll finish off the podcast with the draft. And I kind of talked a little bit about the draft, but I kind of talked by proxy, by like in a parallel fashion about the draft. Let me take a swig of my water. Hold on. Excuse me. Oh my gosh. I also meant, this is how delayed I am on things. I also meant to drink, not drink, but like cook some chicken. And I'm on a diet. And so I'm hungry all of the time on a massive diet. But today is when I will eat a little bit more heavy because I am hungry, massively hungry. I'm hungry all the time. That's the problem with being on a diet. Everybody talks about like eating right and eating good things and things of that nature, but they also do not tell you when you get on a diet, you will kind of starve yourself. That is kind of like the negatives, or really that's one of the things that people don't tell you. It's like, yeah, you're going to starve yourself. You're going to be hungry. It's a part of dieting. There's no way to kind of overcome it. You will be hungry. You will starve yourself. There is nothing. There's really nothing that you can do about it. You're going to be in a caloric deficit, so you're going to feel weird, whether you aren't consuming as much sugar or carbs or whatever. But yes, I'm hungry right now. I was like, maybe I'll have a protein shake. Anyways, let's talk about the draft. The first overall pick, Chicago, they're getting Caleb Williams. They've essentially articulated that point for the better part of 2 months. I think in early January, it was like December, January, people were having the debate of, do you take Caleb Williams or do you trade back in the draft? Do you keep Justin Fields, et cetera, et cetera? By all accounts, Chicago has essentially made clear that that not only that they want Caleb Williams, but that they are willing to do anything that they can to get him. They have DJ Moore. They have Justin Jefferson. I saw the Cam Newton, Shannon Sharp podcast where Cam Newton is like, I would have liked to have seen Justin Fields with... I got a burp. Hold on. Excuse me. I would have liked to have seen Justin Fields with all these other guys. I would have liked to see Justin Fields with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and yada, yada, yada. And it's just like, well, we've already seen him with DJ Moore. And then people would have been like, well, I would have liked to seen him with Moore and yada, yada, yada. I'm like, well, Joe Burrow had one guy. I mean, technically, he also had a good running game with Joe Mixon. But Joe Burrow had Ja'Marr Chase. Joe Burrow had T. Higgins, right? Maybe not. I mean, technically, it was T. Higgins before Ja'Marr Chase. But he had T. Higgins. Then he got Ja'Marr Chase, right? Lamar Jackson, up until last year, really didn't have anybody. Like, Willie Snead was his number one guy when he won the MVP. Yes, he's had Mark Andrews for his entire career, of course. Like, you don't have to tell me twice. But Justin Fields also may not have had Mark Andrews, but he's had a good tight end, Cole Kmet. It's like, again, how many excuses are we going to give Justin Fields? He's got an interesting shot with the Steelers, which they are a better organization. They just don't have the players to kind of like represent their organization. But Steelers are a better organization. I don't think it'll work out long term with Russell Wilson. And he may get a shot there or he may get a shot somewhere else. We'll kind of see what happens. Washington at 2. It's either Drake May or it's going to be Jaden Daniels. I think there was this interesting thing about how the Commanders had a little powwow with all of these quarterbacks that they had invited, and Jaden Daniels, his agent, was apparently pissed off because they being Jaden Daniels and his representation, thought that it was going to be more of a one-on-one conversation, which it was not, and that pissed him off. Washington is, it's like maybe they take Drake May, which I will love as a Cowboys fan because he's terrible. But by all intents and purposes, what seems to have happened is Drake May has fallen off the proverbial cliff. Washington has all of their eyes set on Jaden Daniels, and they'll take Jaden Daniels more likely than not. The Patriots at 3 is in kind of a similar boat. I've heard things like the Patriots like J.J. McCarthy a lot, but also like Drake May is kind of sitting there as well. I don't think Bo Nix is going at 3. I don't think Michael Penix Jr. is going at 3. I think the Patriots are probably going to take Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, but it's kind of like how I think Gerard Mayo came out and said some disparaging stuff about Drake May, and so maybe J.J. McCarthy has shot up through his draft board. Personally speaking, I feel like the Patriots should have been a lot more active in free agency this offseason at the quarterback position. I feel like they should have thrown their name in the hat for Russell Wilson or even Justin Fields, because you're putting a lot on the third quarterback in a draft where I don't really like a lot of the quarterbacks in the first round past the third pick. And it's like, it's especially important to recognize, it's like, my third pick in this draft, my third quarterback in this draft is Michael Penix Jr. Everyone else has like J.J. McCarthy or Drake May as their third guy, or in some cases, Bo Nix. And it's like, for me, I'm just like, no, that's not a thing for me. But, excuse me, but Drake May, J.J. McCarthy are more likely than not going to be the case with the Patriots, which if that's like what they are, if those are the guys that they want, then I don't know. Who do I think the Patriots are going to get? One of the two, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy. I think it's probably J.J. McCarthy, because Gerard Mayo had come out and said some disparaging stuff about Drake May. If you don't know why Drake May and his draft stock have plummeted, it's because of his pro day and also because people started to watch his draft. Mel Kiper is such a terrible analyst. Mel Kiper, every single year, compares the best guy in Caleb Williams with like a guy that has absolutely unequivocally no business being compared to him. And it's like, I feel like people are like, well, we have the number one quarterback and then we have the number two quarterback and they're close. And it's like, well, no, it's not the case. And it's not the case every single year that the number one and number two guy are close. Drake May is not anywhere near the level of Caleb Williams, and it's very obvious. And I'm shocked that people are still like, yep, Drake May, as good as Caleb Williams. I'm like, no, he's not. Not even close. We'll see what happens with Drake May. I still think he probably goes in the first round, but we'll see. Number four, Arizona. This is probably obvious. People have them trading back in the draft. You're going to have to offer them the house. They have no receivers. They lost Christian Kirk. They lost a couple of years ago. They lost Hollywood Brown, who they traded for with a first-round draft pick, by the way. Terrible trade. And so now the Arizona Cardinals need a wide receiver. They have Paris Johnson Jr. I wouldn't mind another wide receiver. Not a wide receiver, but a tackle here. They have the 27th overall pick. Arizona did something interesting a couple of years ago, really 4 years ago, with CeeDee Lamb. They passed on CeeDee Lamb in favor of Isaiah Simmons. Terrible pickup. Because I had no idea how to utilize him. But I thought that it was interesting because it was like it gave them a lot of value for the defensive side of the football field. Again, not a great pickup then, or not then, but now. But I thought, I was like, oh, that's interesting. They kind of go a little bit unconventional because everybody thought they were going to pick up CeeDee Lamb, and they don't. I think in the sense of unconvention, you could really help out Kyler Murray by getting him another offensive lineman, and you can maybe get a top-tier guy, a top-tier wide receiver in Adonai Mitchell or someone else. Again, you don't feel great about it because it's like you don't really have a number one wide receiver, and then it's like Marvin Harrison Jr. is kind of like staring at you right in the face. I don't understand why teams with multiple first-round draft picks don't try to make more hay. And don't try to trade up in the draft and be like, yeah, we have a top five pick. We can get a top five player, but we could also get a mid-round player. We could essentially rob the bank, commit a legalized bank robbery, and get two top-tier picks. I don't know why teams aren't a little bit more aggressive with trades. Apparently, there's going to be a lot of trades in this year's draft, but I'll believe it when I see it. Four. I think it's Marvin Harrison Jr. I think also they should consider Joe Alt Jr. or Fashanu. But Marvin Harrison Jr., fourth overall to Arizona. Fifth, the Chargers, everybody has them pegged to take an offensive lineman. John or Jim Harbaugh has essentially said as such. And I completely and utterly disagree with that notion, with that line of thinking. When you already have, I think, some really, really good offensive linemen. You're about to have three offensive linemen that were all first-round draft picks, and you're paying Corey Linsley essentially like he's one of the best centers in the NFL right now. So that's four guys, four top players, all at the offensive line position, and the Chargers are probably betting. We'll see what happens if they do go offensive line in the first round, which it more likely than not looks like. We will then see what they do in the second round. Because, for example, there's some really interesting players in the second round of this draft. Like, for example, Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy. The two Texas wide receivers, Xavier Worthy obviously ran the fastest 40 combine time, whatever. Like, he's going to be there. Ladd McConkey, who I think is a really, really interesting player, he's going to be there in the second round as well. Keon Coleman, who, by the way, thank God, everybody's gotten the read on. He's not a first rounder. He's like a second rounder. He's going to be there, maybe. Like, there's names there for the Chargers if they actually want to go out and draft a wide receiver top of the second round. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. For some ridiculous reason, I just went back. Hold on. I did something terrible. I'm like, I pressed the back button instead of the back button on my, on my tab. And so I just literally have to redo the draft. Give me like 1 second. Okay. I think the Chargers will probably take Joe Alt or Foshnu or an offensive tackle, if they don't take one of those two guys, then they've big swing and a miss. Because not only do you not take a wide receiver, you also do not take the top tackle prospect in this year's draft. So I think they take Joe Alt. 6, Giants want a quarterback and a wide receiver. They can't have both. And Joe Schoen and the Brian Daboll, the head coach, I think they had and made a huge, huge mistake with re-signing Daniel Jones to a huge multi-million dollar contract. And in the moment, I was like, bad decision, bad contract. And literally not even 6 months later, they have come to regret. They came to regret that decision. And so with the Giants drafting at 6th overall, I think they take Malik Nabers. They have no wide receivers. They have none. Zero, zero. They have nothing. And Darren Waller, who's kind of their top guy, he may or may not retire within the next year or 2 years. And so you really need to start building out your wide receiving core. And, I mean, it's as easy as ABC 123. The headliner of this draft for wide receivers outside of Marvin Harrison Jr. is Malik Nabers. And I think that's just an easy pick for the Giants to make. Some people want them to take a quarterback. I don't see it. I don't understand how you can take a quarterback here when you've just paid Daniel Jones hundreds of millions of dollars. Again, I think that was a mistake then, and I still think that's obvious. I mean, everybody thinks that's a mistake. But you can't go out and get... I mean, and by the way, who are you going to get at this pick, right, at quarterback? Are you going to get Drake May? Are you going to get... If the Patriots don't take J.J. McCarthy, are you going to take J.J. McCarthy with the 6th overall pick? I would like to see Michael Penix Jr. here if you're going to take him. But I don't think a quarterback is a good decision. By the way, if the Chargers... Apparently, the Chargers are kind of in business for trading back. But I don't think anyone will give them a good enough deal to really, like... Especially... It also depends on where they would move back to. But I don't know that anyone would give them a persuasive enough deal to trade all the way back in the draft. I think people like certain quarterbacks in this year's draft. I don't think they like every single quarterback. And so if, for example, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, they go 1-2, I don't think anyone's trading up in the draft. I really don't. But 6th overall, Malik Nabers, I think, goes to the Giants. Titans are kind of like shockingly loaded. They probably need another cornerback, to be honest with you. But the Titans, they have a really, really interesting wide receiving core with Treylon Burks, who's kind of had a lackluster career, but he's kind of now your third guy. Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins. Ironically enough, Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins, they stole from the Jags and the Texans. But if you're the Titans, you kind of need a quarterback, but you kind of want to see what happens, what you can do with Will Levis. You also need more offensive line power, strength. I think Foshnu here is a great pickup. I think he is the pickup. You either take Joe Alt or you take Foshnu. Foshnu's the Penn State tackle who I love, who I think is the best tackle in the draft. But you take Foshnu or Joe Alt and you're golden. You really are. If you're the Titans. 8, everybody keeps on saying that Atlanta's going to take a defensive player because they've spent so many resources on offense. They've spent first-round draft picks on wide receiver, running back, and tight end. And they haven't spent anything on defense. And they have a defensive coordinator, and so it's kind of automatic. I don't really agree with that, especially for Dallas Turner. And I just don't like teams just being like, or an analyst and broadcasters and teams being like, well, we haven't drafted defense in a couple of years. Let's draft defense. I really wish that certain teams were a little bit more active in free agency. I'm looking directly at you, Dallas. But I'm not a huge fan of just being like, well, they drafted defense the last 3 years. Now they're going to draft offense. Or excuse me, they draft offense the last 3 years. Now they're going to draft defense. I'm like, well, then that kind of defeats the purpose of free agency. If you just essentially are like, well, we're just going to draft for needs and not for not best available. But Dallas Turner, by all intents and purposes, has already been measured in his Atlanta Falcons jersey, and he's going to be an Atlanta Falcon here going on tonight. Number 9, Is the Chicago Bears on deck again? You just drafted Caleb Williams. You have Keenan Allen. You have DJ Moore. Could you go for the overkill and take, for example, Rome Odunze, which is a very fascinating and interesting pick for the Bears? Or do you take Brock Bowers, who I think is more important and plays a different position, and I would just kick Cole Kmet to the curb, and I would just have tryouts. I really would. That's what I would do. I would just be like, yep, Cole Kmet, get ready to get your job taken because we're drafting Brock Bowers. But the reality is they're probably going to go with more traditional lines of thinking, and they're probably just going to be like, hey, Rome Odunze, come on down to Washington. Or potentially they could say, look, we have Tevin Jenkins, we have Darnell Wright, we have a really, really nice kind of burgeoning offensive line. We're going to take another offensive lineman. Or the reality of the situation is we're going to trade down. They could also take the edge from UCLA in Latu. Interesting name. But I'm not sure. I think everybody thinks they're going to take Rome Odunze. I'm not in love with that because I feel like they have already two really, really awesome wide receivers. And it's just like, I don't think they need a third. I think really it's like, if you feel any type of way about your offensive lineman, I would take, who's like a tackle? I would take the Washington tackle maybe here, and I would transition him to like a guard, if I'm 100% honest with you. And so now it's like you have two first-round draft picks, two guys that I thought were first-round draft picks, Tevin Jenkins and Darnell Wright, and now you have a guard. And now you're like, all right, I have two veteran presences with Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, who's probably going to play with for 6, 7, 8 years, Keenan Allen maybe the next 1 to 2. I don't think – here's the thing, right? I believe in getting weapons for your quarterback, but it starts to have diminishing returns when you just take everybody. You're like, yep, we're going to take everybody. We're going to take this wide receiver. We're going to take that wide receiver. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I don't think you can have three top-tier wide receivers for the entirety of your quarterback's career unless you just keep on drafting awesome wide receivers. I don't think that happens consistently, that you're just able to get awesome wide receivers all of the time. But, again, we'll kind of see what happens there. But do I think they'll get Rome Odunze? That's where everybody's leaning. Am I leaning that way? I don't like the pick. It's not that I don't like Rome Odunze. I do like him. I just think it's the wrong fit for the team. I think there's better ways to kind of go about the 9th overall pick. And if, to be honest with you, I may trade down, but we'll kind of see what happens. But I'll, for the intensive purpose for this draft, I'll just say they take Rome Odunze. The Bears do at 9. Jets at 10. They solve their offensive tackle problems. They just got Tyron Smith. They compare him with, obviously, Mekhi Becton. Two injury-prone tackles in the same, on the same team is, to me, not really ideal. Because you're kind of like crossing, it's kind of like the Mets last season, right? You're kind of like crossing your fingers, hoping everything works for you, and that nothing bad happens, and that, you know, there's no injuries that happen to your players. And it's like, literally, the Mets got hurt last season and it careened their season. And it's kind of like the exact same thing this year. It's like, you hope that Aaron Rodgers comes back healthy. You hope that Mekhi Becton comes back healthy. You hope that Tyron Smith is healthy. And it's just like, can you really bank on those players being healthy for the entirety of the season? It's like, then on top of that, can you bank on Aaron Rodgers being Aaron Rodgers, or being what he was like 3, 4 years ago? I don't think so. Does he have the rapport with Garrett Wilson that he really should have? I don't think so. And then when you look at the Jets, I mean, the Jets really have, with Robert Saleh, who's probably on the hot seat, and the GM Joe Douglas, they are really up a creek without a paddle right now, because they just traded away their only kind of ascension to quarterback for the Jets. Again, he's not a great pickup. He's not a great pick, but they just moved on from Zach Wilson. He's now in Denver. And so now you look at the Jets and you're like, you are all in on Aaron Rodgers, which they have put all of their eggs in a pretty shitty basket, if I'm 100% honest with you. And they've said, we are Aaron Rodgers or bust. And I do not like that for them. And they are probably going to trip and fall and something bad is going to happen. With all of that being said, at 10, where do the Jets go? I mean, it may be a guard. It may be Brock Bowers here. They may trade down because maybe one of the quarterbacks is still available. Like, for example, Drake May is still available for me. It's like, do they trade with a team like Denver, who's only two slots away, or the Vikings? It's like, I don't know. But for all intents and purposes, we'll just say that they'll take Brock Bowers. They just lost the tight end. I think that's going to be a great pickup for them because they have Garrett Wilson. You'd probably like another wide receiver, but you get Brock Bowers. The problem with Aaron is Aaron has no rapport with young wide receivers or young players. He just doesn't get them. I talked about how awesome Christian Watson was his first year with Green Bay. Aaron throws him a touchdown pass his final year in Green Bay. It's like his first pass that Christian Watson is going out trying to get, and he drops it, and then Aaron just essentially ignores him for the rest of the season until, of course, Dallas comes to town and they beat Dallas, and Christian Watson pops off for almost like 200 yards. But Brock Bowers is the right move, but we will see what happens with the Jets long term. Brock Bowers to the Jets. Vikings at 11. I think this is where, if it's J.J. McCarthy that's available, I think he goes here. If it's Drake May, it's Drake May. He goes here as well. I think this is where you start to see a run on quarterbacks. And kind of like the other quarterbacks. I think Drake May probably goes here, or whoever is the top quarterback here for the Vikings, because their starting quarterback is, checks notes, Sam Darnold. They have nobody. It's also kind of why Justin Jefferson is like, what's the plan at quarterback? Because I've been insane without kind of a great one. He had a good one in Kirk Cousins, but he's like, you guys are wanting to move off of Kirk Cousins every single year, and it's just like, well, what's the plan long term? And they're like, they probably said to him, we don't know. But Drake May to Vikings, I think that's Drake May / J.J. McCarthy. I think that's a terrible, terrible pickup because it's kind of like Kirk Cousins 2.0 or negative 2.0. It's like you could have just gotten essentially worse with this pick and with this offseason at quarterback for essentially no other reason besides we want to blow up Kirk Cousins is we want to blow up this whole regime with Kirk Cousins and all that good stuff. And I don't agree with it at all. Denver at 12, they are so devoid of talent everywhere. They moved on from everyone. I think they take whoever is the best available / I mean, everybody keeps on talking about, you know what? That's not correct. Everybody keeps on talking about how they reach for Bo Nix. Like, I keep hearing that over and over and over again. That the Broncos are going to reach for Bo Nix. I think that's a terrible pickup. I think that's a terrible pick as well, because I'm not a big believer in Bo Nix. But Broncos at 12, they don't really have a lot of options. I mean, they don't even have a starting quarterback. They're up the same creek as the Vikings, where it's just like, all right, yeah, you know, congratulations, you moved off of your last quarterback, but who's your guy now? Checks notes. We don't kind of know. It may be Zach Wilson, which he'll be in a worse position than he was in New York. But the thing about it is, he probably could be in a better position because he doesn't have to deal with all of the psychopaths from the New York media as well. So it's like, you either have, for Denver, Zach Wilson or Drake May or Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. I think Michael Penix Jr. here at 12 could really be the 180 that the Broncos could need, but I don't think they make the read. I think Bo Nix, across everyone's board, is higher than Michael Penix. Michael Penix Jr., again, to me, is the third overall quarterback in this year's draft, but nobody else besides me likes him. But Bo Nix probably goes here or another quarterback. I would be so excited for Denver if they get Michael Penix Jr., because I think he's way better than practically almost every quarterback in the draft not named Caleb Williams, and kind of leaking out and getting to Jaden Daniels, because I think he may be better than Jaden Daniels. We'll see what happens. Oakland at 13th overall, they need another quarterback. I think they may take a quarterback, or they may take have a semi-decent offensive line. They have some good offensive linemen. They may take a cornerback here as well. It's so hard to make the read. I think they do take a quarterback because it's like, are you really going to roll with Jimmy Garoppolo or Aiden O'Connell next season? I've thought about this a little bit. Michael Penix Jr. here would be insane. You have Devontae Adams. You don't obviously have Josh Jacobs, the former wide receiver, not wide receiver, but the running back, who I was like, isn't he now a Green Bay Packer? Yes, he is. But it's like, you're lacking, you're missing Josh Jacobs, which that sucks for you. But at the exact same time, you have so much offense. You have kind of this burgeoning defense, this kind of defense that's on the rise. And you need somebody to spar with Mahomes. You can't just ignore the problem. And as much as, Max Crosby and whatever his name is, the new head coach, wants to go on a podcast and say that we have the Mahomes rule, which it's essentially just hit Mahomes, which I'm guessing that's everybody's rule, you know, for not only beating Mahomes but other quarterbacks, but sure, fine. We can play pretend that you figured out Patrick Mahomes. I hate how the Raiders are kind of like smugly walking and talking about, like they've done something impressive. It's like you've beaten Mahomes without scoring an offensive touchdown in the second half. That's not really like beating Mahomes. That's more Mahomes did not play well, that the Chiefs did not play well. But sure, we'll pretend that you have the Mahomes rule. Or rules, I guess. But sure, fine. Sure. Okay, we'll pretend. The Oakland Raiders, I refuse to call them the Vegas Raiders. The Oakland Raiders, they need a quarterback. And they'll get one if they draft Michael Penix Jr. Saints at 14th overall, it's a crapshoot what the Saints are going to do. The Trevor Penning pick did not work. Chris Olave, who I loved, is kind of weird and in a little bit of legal trouble and issues. I think you need somebody to kind of help when it comes to establishing edge rush besides Cam Jordan. It would have been awesome if you could have had Trey Hendrickson, the former New Orleans Saint, current Cincinnati Bengal, but obviously that ship has sailed. It's not looking good for the Saints. They don't have a quarterback. I'm not a huge fan of Derek Carr, and they certainly do not have a team that can last forever because all their best players are getting old. It's like, I don't know. I'll just say that they get a cornerback. They get Quinnen Mitchell out of Toledo. I don't know. It's so hard to say. It's like they could get a wide receiver. No, they don't need a wide receiver. Oy vey. Man, they really... I'll say they get the edge out of UCLA because Cam Jordan is getting older and they kind of need more depth and more presence and they need somebody to inevitably replace him. Even though I think Cam Jordan had like 8-9 sacks. So he was still a good player, but he's getting to what? He's almost in his mid-30s, right? Feels like he's been playing football forever. I mean, he's in his mid-30s. He's 34. Excuse me. He didn't have 8 sacks last year. He only had 2. So yeah, you're taking an edge. Dennis Allen, defensive coordinator, fired Dennis Allen after this season. Promoting Dennis Allen to head coach was a terrible decision. You should have looked outside of the offense or the organization. There is nobody within the organization that was as good as some of the prior candidates over the last couple of years. Look for Mike McCarthy to potentially join the Saints when he gets fired by the Dallas Cowboys because the Dallas Cowboys aren't going to the Super Bowl this year because Jerry Jones stinks as an owner. But Latu. Or it could be Jared Verse, the Florida State edge. I like Jared Verse over Latu from UCLA, even though Pro Football Network is giving me Latu. Everybody keeps on talking about how the Colts are going to draft a corner. I'll give him the best, Quinnen Mitchell. I think they probably also maybe need another wide receiver, but I'm just going to kind of keep that to myself. Maybe another offensive lineman. We'll see what happens. Seattle probably needs. I mean, Seattle is so interesting. That run on quarterbacks at 11, 12, and 13, Drake May, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr. going to the Minnesota Vikings, Denver Broncos, and Raiders. That's an interesting run on quarterbacks. But at the exact same time, if you want my honest opinion about it, I feel like Seattle is kind of a candidate for a quarterback as well. Geno Smith is not a good quarterback. I don't know why people were juicing up, giving fucking Geno Smith the fucking juice. Don't understand it, but they did. Geno Smith now is in a situation where there's expectations that he cannot meet. There are expectations that he cannot deliver upon. And now Geno Smith is going into another year where he's probably on the second best team in the division, and he's probably the fourth best quarterback in the division. Like, it's Brock Purdy, Matt Stafford, then Kyler, then it's him. Fourth best quarterback gets you no playoffs, no divisional round, and in the final month of the regular season, you're not even competitive for the divisional round, or not the divisional round, but the divisional crown. You're not in competition with the Niners. Maybe you take a quarterback at 16. If one's available. We'll kind of see what happens next. But anyways, who's up? Seattle, it would be interesting to see what would happen. I mean, they also have a new head coach. I mean, they just drafted two offensive linemen. They have a boatload of wide receivers. They don't need another one. I think they go here with defense, obviously. They got Devin Witherspoon, who's been awesome for them out of Syracuse last year. I think they take whoever is the best edge rusher here. Latu from UCLA is kind of an interesting pickup. I'll say they get him. Jacksonville, they need another wide receiver. Jesus Christ. They just released probably their best one, and the best one that I have available is Brian Thomas Jr. I got to go fast here because literally school starts in 20 minutes, and I'm not even on the road. It takes me like 15 minutes to get to school. But Brian Thomas Jr., LSU wide receiver, he's probably like the fourth best wide receiver in this year's draft, and he's probably hovering around like pick at minimum 15, max, I like maybe 12. 13th. He's probably like the 12th, 13th overall prospect, potentially. But he goes to Jacksonville. They need another wide receiver. God help them. They have none. Jesus Christ. They suck. next up is the Bengals. God, they would have loved to have taken Brock Bowers for Joe, but they also need another tackle. Because they don't have one tackle. I don't like Orlando Brown, and I don't even like whoever is the right tackle. They need another tackle. At this point, I love Amarius Mims here. I think he's great. I think he's perfect for them. I'm going to take Amarius Mims here. You also have, I mean, everybody talks about Fuaga, the Oregon State tackle. Everybody goes ballistic for Fuaga. And I feel like he's kind of, if he's there at 18th overall, everybody's going to be like going sadistic and be like, why are we not going to take, why are the Bengals going to pass up on Fuaga? So I'll just say they take Fuaga. Rams are kind of in another boat. They also need another offensive line men because holy Christ, they are bad at offensive line. I'll say they take Amarius Mims because they kind of need an offensive lineman. Steelers are in a similar situation. They need an offensive lineman as well. Jesus Christ, they kind of suck. They'll take whoever is, like, we'll see potentially if teams are motivated at like 11, 12, 13. We'll see a run on quarterbacks. 19, 20, 21, we'll see the prospects that are there. But those teams, really 18, 19, 20, 21, those four teams, the Bengals, Rams, Steelers, and Dolphins, they'll probably potentially get tackles as well. I'll say that the Steelers, they get J.C. Latham, the tackle out of Alabama. Miami will get Troy Fontenot, the tackle out of Washington, who can transition a guard and probably will transition a guard. Eagles at 22 overall. They need a cornerback because, Jesus Christ, they have none. Here's an interesting one. Arnold isn't, in my opinion, like a top tier, top of the, like, he's not an outside corner, he's an inside corner. I think that can kind of work out for the Eagles because a lot of wide receivers, they play inside and they play outside. And so in the case of Terrion Arnold, yes, he's an inside guy, but especially against, for example, CeeDee Lamb, it's kind of like important for the Eagles to have someone with some inside presence. Terrion Arnold, or corner, 22nd overall to the Eagles. The 23rd pick is the Vikings because, again, they traded with the Houston Texans. I didn't have them making a trade up in the draft. We'll see what happens. It'll be so obnoxious for them if they traded for a first-round draft pick. If they were like, yep, we're going to get this first-round draft pick, et cetera, et cetera. This additional pick, and we will not utilize that pick to move up in the draft. And they just hang back and they're like, we don't want to use it. And it's just like, well, all right. You're kind of up Schitt's Creek without a paddle. I would just take the best player here for, did I have them drafting a quarterback? Yes, I did, right? I had them drafting Drake May. Man, this is tough. It's like, who would they take here? They have Jordan Addison. They have Justin Jefferson, who they can't even pay. I would go defense here, maybe. And Brian Murphy, the second. It's like kind of like the quintessential. He's like the only guy that's available here. Everybody keeps on talking about Cooper DeJean as like a cornerback. He's really a safety. You already have, I think his name is Lewis Sign, the safety from Georgia a couple of years ago. You already have him. So you don't need another corner. Or another safety. I mean, Nate Wiggins, the Clemson cornerback, is here as well, who's also great. There's so many options for them because they have nobody. I don't know who they go here. For argument's sake, I'll just say that they kind of like help out their cornerback room. Do they really need another corner? Yeah, they do. Here's the reason why they need another corner. Amon-Ra St. Brown with Detroit. Green Bay Packers, Christian Watson, and them, you know, and whoever else, essentially. And also, who else is available? Who else is in their draft? Oh, my God. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and potentially Rome Odunze. You need a cornerback. Nate Wiggins is the guy. By the way, the Eagles could also take Nate Wiggins as well. Dallas at 24th overall. Tyler Guyton, the Oklahoma tackle, is available. We'll see what happens with whatever they do with Tyler Smith, the awesome all-pro left guard who was amazing last season, who also, like, we'll see what happens with him. But Dallas is probably going to be a little bit flexible, and they're probably going to be like, well, we're going to take a tackle, and we're going to transition that tackle into a guard, or we're going to take Jackson Powers Johnson, who they really, really like, apparently. So I'll just say they'll take Jackson Powers Johnson. But it's like, now they don't even have a tackle. Like, Dallas is screwed. Here's the thing about Dallas, and here's probably what needs to be said about Dallas. Dallas will probably take an offensive lineman with the 24th overall pick, but Dallas also needs, like, an additional offensive lineman. And the reality is, it's like, yeah, they don't have a center. Like, they don't have a center on their team right now. But they also do not have a starting left tackle or a starting left guard. Like, we don't know. They lost three offensive linemen, essentially, this offseason. We'll see what happens overall. But yeah, Dallas is a big old question mark. Green Bay at 25th overall. I mean, gosh, man, they have so much stuff. Do you take another wide receiver here? Do you take a running back? Who did they get? They got Josh Jacobs. That's why they don't need another one. Green Bay is kind of loaded here. They have awesome corners. They have, I mean, Brian Murphy, the second, the Texas defensive tackle, who's rated as like the first guy. He's kind of interesting. So, or you could get the edge from Penn State, Chop Robinson. It's kind of just an interesting overall position to be in. Bucks, they need another cornerback after making it to the playoffs. In reality, you could take an offensive lineman here. You just lost Donovan Smith last season, and it kind of was felt. I'll say you take Tyler Guyton here out of Oklahoma. Arizona, again, has another top-tier pick here at 27th overall. Like, they have another first-round draft pick, which is a bit insane. I'll say they get Graham Barton, the center slash guard from Duke. It's kind of like they need another offensive lineman. Bills, they need another wide receiver. What are my wide receivers looking like? They have Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman as kind of like the top three picks. Whew, man. Do they really? Who do they take here? I think they probably take someone. I don't think they go with Xavier Worthy. I think they probably go with Adonai Mitchell because he's a little bit more consistent in his production. But it is kind of interesting, the decision that the Bills have to make. Because it's like they have options, but it's kind of like, do they, like, what option do they choose? Detroit at 29th overall. Great season by Detroit. Almost went to the Super Bowl for the first time in, like, the team's history. Man. I think maybe you get another cornerback here. That's something that you're definitely lacking. Kool-Aid McKinstry is just staring at you dead in the face. That kind of makes a lot of sense. Ravens at 30. Awesome draft last year. Awesome drafts last couple of years. Maybe you get Chop Robinson, another defensive player out of Penn State. Or you can get another wide receiver. I mean, Xavier Worthy with Lamar Jackson is super interesting. Everybody talks about size. Like, they want wide receivers with a lot of size. I don't think size really matters as much as production. Look at Quentin Johnson. He's a monster. No production. I think production is more important. So I think it would be awesome if the Ravens, they took Xavier Worthy here. Or not, right, Xavier Worthy? Yeah. Maybe not production is the best way to describe it. Because Xavier has, I don't know. It's like, do they take Xavier Worthy here? Or do they take another cornerback here? I think the Ravens, they may go corner. But I don't have any good corners here. But you also have Chop Robinson, who's another edge. You have Odafe away. You have some interesting players. I don't really, you know what's interesting? I don't really know where the Ravens are going to go overall. What's his name? Cooper DeJean is also an interesting pick. The safety out of Iowa. Super interesting. Oh no, they already have Kyle Hamilton. They already have like the best safety in the class. Is Cooper DeJean going to play like, Kyle Hamilton can essentially play every single position. He can cover, he can play a deep safety, he can play a box safety. It's like, where exactly does Cooper DeJean kind of fit? Do you take another edge rusher here if you're the Ravens? I'll say they take Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle out of Illinois, just to like bolster their defense. Niners at 31. Aren't they? They aren't super deep anymore, right? At edge, I say they go out and they get Chop Robinson from Penn State to essentially increase their depth on the defensive line. Maybe you're kind of side eyeing, for example, Brandon Ayuk, and you're like, maybe he leaves in free agency. Maybe we kind of get somebody else and we kind of move on from whose name did I just say? You move on from who is it? You move on from Brandon Ayuk, excuse me. Maybe you move on from him and maybe you take a wide receiver, or maybe you have that thought process in your mind. You move on from Brandon Ayuk long-term, and you draft another wide receiver here, but I just don't know. We'll kind of see what happens. And then 32nd overall, the Chiefs with Rashee Rice's legal issues. I think the Chiefs, you have to be prudent. You have to be intelligent. You have to be able to say he's probably not going to be here long-term. And he may not be the same guy and all that good stuff. I would not take Keon Coleman here. The Chiefs may be thinking about it because they're like, we need probably a little bit more size. I would probably take someone with a little bit more long-term. I would take somebody who 1,000% could take the top off the defense. I know they already got Hollywood Brown, but I mean, it's been 2 years essentially since Patrick Mahomes has been able to efficiently and effectively use his deep ball. I would go balls to the wall, and I would take 32nd overall Xavier Worthy. Now, here's the thing. Long and the short of it is, second round is going to be a very interesting round, but the second round is going to be headlined by one guy, probably more likely than not, in Keon Coleman, the Florida State wide receiver. And to me, depending on the team, he's a little bit of fool's gold. Remember how I said earlier with the Chargers that it's fine if the Chargers take, for example, Joe Alt Jr. at the 5th overall pick. But what isn't fine is if they take him and then they transition to, welp, we're going to take Keon Coleman with our second round draft pick. If they do that, then I think that they've made a mistake, a huge mistake, because Keon Coleman is literally Quentin Johnson, except he's tan. He's light-skinned. I think that'd be a terrible pickup for the Chargers. But you also have, kind of like in this year's draft, you have so many interesting players. You have no linebackers with first-round grades, but they kind of have first-round talent, but they're just not as good as other defensive players. You have more guards and more centers. I think Dallas at 24 overall is a super interesting fucking pick. And let me tell you why. Dallas could take whoever's the top tackle, have the left guard, stay left guard in Tyler Smith. This is like the dream. And they trade up or they let whomever fall to them, whoever is the center, fall to them in the second round, and you get a tackle, your tackle, and you get your guard. That, to me, is the dream for Dallas. I'm watching the Dodgers versus the Padres, and I think Manny Machado had just hit a big homer, and this is a game that they lost. And one of those obnoxious fans that's just at the games to, like, collect baseballs, he was there at Dodger Stadium wearing Dodgers gear, and it looked at first like he had thrown the ball, the homer. It looked like he had thrown the homer away back onto the football field, right? It looked like he did. But instead, he reached into his fucking jacket pocket like a fucking rat. Reached into his jacket pocket, threw that ball onto the field. I was so happy when I saw him threw the ball back onto the field. I was like, yeah, get that fucking Padre ball out of here. And then he fucking keeps the ball like a fucking schmuck. He keeps it like a fucking schmuck. So annoying. Because he's like, Dodgers fans were mean to me when I kept the Padres. It's like, yeah, they should be mean to you. You're in Dodgers Stadium, a wolf in fucking sheep's and the Blues colors, clothing, and you have the audacity to come to my stadium to dress as a Dodger, to dress as a Dodgers fan, and you fucking throw that fucking fake-ass ball back onto the football field or back onto the baseball field during a Dodgers loss, by the way. God. Despicable. Anyways, I'll see you this afternoon for the NFL draft, ladies and gentlemen. 24's Podcast.